Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. Last week we read, I did not answer as Chris opened the rear passenger door and I jumped in beside her. The door was not even shut before we were already speeding away. Blondie was on her feet by then. The people from the Suburban exited the alley and the stocky driver brought up a pistol, but Blondie pulled down his arm. Chris smiled at me. You owe me one, and guess what? I'm going to decide how you pay me back. She paused for dramatic effect. You are going to meet my boss, Jake. And now, episode 4. The silence in the car became awkward while I decided how to respond to Chris's demand. I was not surprised she was going to use my current situation as leverage, but I could have avoided it altogether. It had been a mistake to get into her car, but I had been presented with an easy option. I had taken it before I had a chance to consider all the consequences. The driver looked at me in the rearview mirror, trying to gauge my reaction to Chris's words. He had blonde hair and was pushing 50. The muscles of his arms bulged when he turned the wheel. He had 30 pounds on me. I checked behind us to make sure we were not being followed. Everything had happened so quickly that I had expected to see a black Suburban behind us. Do you have real plates on this truck? I asked. Are they going to track you? Don't worry, Jake, Chris said. We are not a fly-by-night organization. She gave me a wry smile. You were not able to track me, were you? If I would have known you would take advantage of me, I thought, I would have tried much harder. My attempts to follow her had not been thorough. I had done it to see how well she protected herself as much as anything. I spent several minutes focusing on my breathing to keep my anger at bay. It was swarming in my chest like a hive of bees that had just been kicked over. Most of it was not directed at Chris. A portion was aimed at myself, but the rest was for Reed and how close his people had come to me. Still, after everything that had happened, he was trying to persuade me to join him. It did not make any sense, especially considering how he was using fake videos of me to manipulate public opinion. Even at the end, Sam had hesitated to kill me. I had just assumed it was because of the kids, but what if I was wrong? What if it was something more? What if Reed had forbidden him from harming me? I avoided looking at Chris to keep from saying something I would later regret. She was my only reliable friend, and I did not want to put that in jeopardy. I still needed her too much, unfortunately. She was trying to take advantage of the situation, and while I could not fault her for that, I had my own levers to pull. The thing keeping me in this car was me. You're going to have to do something more, I said. You are hardly in a position. Or I get out now, I said, with more emotion showing in my voice than I wanted, but I let it ride. She stared at me, trying to figure out if my words were sincere. I just saved your butt, and you have the gall to turn down the one thing I ask of you. I did not need your help, I said. Maybe. You running around with a gun in the middle of downtown Philly is about as stupid a thing as you've ever done. You've already left too much damage in your wake. Blowing up that Data Raider employee was a terrible mistake. I shook my head. It was not me. The raw video coverage made it look like you. After a stunt like that, I'm surprised my boss still wants to meet with you. Are you going to deny shooting the other one? No, I said. That was me. You've come unhinged, Jake. Think about what you're doing. The kids, I said. I'm tired of you stonewalling about the kids. You promised to look into it today with at least one more person and I will meet your boss. I've got a lot on my plate, she said. It's non-negotiable, I said. Otherwise, I walk. Silence ensued and this time the driver kept glancing back at Chris. I could tell he had an opinion. Based on the looks he had been giving me, I figured he would prefer for me to get out of the car. He did not appear too far from tossing me out himself. He had frowned when I had confessed to shooting Sam. I won't waste more than a week looking for them. You start today, I said, and you stop when you find them. How bad do you want this? I asked, trying to keep a new bout of fury from showing in my voice. I was getting something I needed out of the deal. I should not have needed to add this. She should have looked into the disappearances of Margaret and Benji several weeks ago, when I had first come to her. "Come on, Jake," she said. "I've been providing you with support for months now. It's the least you can do. I just got you out of a tenuous situation, and I've agreed to do some work for you. All I'm getting in return is a meeting with my boss. You had better... You're getting the better end of this. I'm not trying to make you do work for me." "I'm still not sold," I said. She let out a sigh of exasperation. "My boss has been following your..." She paused, and I was certain she had been about to say antics. "Actions for quite some time. He's invested a lot in making sure you're safe. My time and his resources. You owe him." I was silent, seething that Chris was using this as an opportunity to get me to come in. She was forgetting she had agreed to look into Margaret and Benji's disappearance weeks ago. "If I disagree with your organization's purpose..." "Jake, I get it," she said. "I really do. If you prefer, I'll blindfold and tie you up. Would that make you feel better about it? Make you feel like you have less of a choice? I killed two people the last time I was tied up." Part of me tried to make it sound like a joke, but the edge in my voice ruined it. That was for the best, considering the temperature in the car and the fact that I had just admitted to killing Sam. Perhaps this is not the right time. "For the kids," I thought, with gritted teeth. "It was for them." She rolled her eyes. "Come now, Jake. It's a small thing. You've been putting it off for too long. Tell me who you're working for," I said. "No," she said. "I promised I wouldn't. My boss wants to explain things to you firsthand. If you come, you'll get the answers you've been wanting." "How do I know this isn't a trap?" I asked. Her eyebrow raised. "How long have you known me? I swear on my life that nothing bad will happen." She nodded to the driver. "In fact, we'll pull over so you can drive. Would you feel better about that?" I did not like her condescending tone. I also could not deny I was curious about her employer. If I was about to get some answers in addition to help, it might be worth the risk. "Let's say I agree, not saying that I do. What's going to change once I know? Why is it so important your boss is the one to explain things to me? What's to be gained?" Chris was quiet for some time. "Jake, you have been looking for answers. He has them. There are so many questions just about your past. Won't you welcome an opportunity to get some of them answered? I won't pretend we have them all. We don't. But we do have some." She took a deep breath. "Both you and my employer want to take down Peck. Think what you could accomplish with our resources behind you." There it was, the thing I feared the most. Another corporation with the express purpose of doing good by doing what? Bringing down another corporation. I did not believe Diagon was evil, nor did I feel that most of the people that worked for it were evil. But I did know that people in positions of power take advantage of others to accumulate more wealth and power. That's Mankind 101. That's what Peck was doing. That's what Reed was doing. And that's also what I assumed Chris's employer was up to. I had worked with Chris for two reasons. The first was I didn't have anybody else I could turn to. The second was that she was a good person. If I got a bad taste in my mouth because I met the man she worked for and felt like she was his pawn, I would never look at her the same way. "All right," I said, "I will do it. Just remember, your research into the kids starts today." Chris gave me a tight smile and we rode for the rest of the drive in silence. It was not until our driver had pulled into a parking garage that she spoke again. I had watched every turn and made mental note of the streets. The office complex was not one with which I was familiar, but it was in an area I had traveled through many times. In fact, it wasn't far from the old black brick location. If I needed to exit the building, I knew enough about my surroundings to disappear quickly. "Keep an open mind," Chris said. "Not every company is evil." I grunted, but did not respond as we got out of the car. An elevator took us up to the lobby, and from there we took another up to the 15th floor. I had to keep my mouth from falling open when we stepped out of the elevator and I saw the sign over the receptionist desk. "Fran's Finest." Chris worked for a flower company. Or rather, she worked for an organization that used flowers as a front. Chris smiled when she saw my expression. "Keep an open mind." I never suspected. That's the idea, she said. This way. The receptionist greeted us with a smile. Chris whisked me down the end of a hallway to a set of double doors. Wait a moment. Chris disappeared, shutting the doors behind her. I looked around, my curiosity combining with my need to assess my surroundings. The art was expensive and the furnishings were lavish. I chuckled to myself. If this was a criminal organization, it was a curious front. I had become used to dealing with technology companies that thought they ruled the world. But a flower company? Part of me wanted to help Fran's Finest take down Diagon just because the thought of Diagon being taken out by a flower company made me want to laugh. I positioned myself to see inside when Chris came back out. When she returned, several seconds later, I caught a glimpse of a room full of people before the door shut. For a flower company, they had a lot of suited executives. She noticed my switch in positions and grimaced. My boss will see you in... There was the slightest of pauses, so imperceptible I might have imagined it. His office. Chris went down a connecting hall and took several turns before we came to another double door. This time she opened it and ushered me in. I was struck by the view of the city as I entered. A feminine voice greeted me. Hello, Jake. The woman that stood before me was in her late 40s. Her smile was motherly. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions, LLC.